Okay, here's a question from Kanai Krishna Das. And he says, I have a question about ISKCON's political views. I've come to understand that ISKCON is against equal human rights for women, gays, and black people. Is that correct? No. Anyway, let me just ask the rest of his question. According to my readings, the founder, Chaya Prabhupada, was very clear on those subjects. Women are inferior to men in many ways. Gays are not to be allowed to marry ever. And three black people are an inferior race that should be controlled. Okay, first of all, let's make it very clear that this is not a political view, and ISKCON doesn't espouse this political view. But rather what's being talked about here is a sociological view, how to structure society. Srila Prabhupada based his teachings, or just simply espoused the teachings of the Vedic concept of Varnashram, which means that people are different according to their past karma, because people are individuals, they act in individual ways, they accrue an individual karma, and their karma then determines that they have a certain type of guna or nature. So we should be very clear that Krishna consciousness is not against equal human rights, and I'll get later what the real human right of Krishna consciousness is all about. But at the same time, this equal human rights and this egalitarian idea that everyone should be equal and everyone should have the opportunity to be equal to everybody else, it really undermines the opportunity of people to be different. The right that you can be different, and very often we see that people who do want to claim differences, like for instance that someone wants to propound that they just want to be, a lady wants to be a housewife, then they're looked down on as docile, exploited, old-fashioned women, rather than being respected as being people who want to actually be different. And this dictating of equality is doing just that. It's robbing the right of people to be different, and it's transforming society in some kind of monolithic, monochrome monstrosity, which gives visions of zombies or robots running society or being society. But we do see that there's difference. We see not only that there's difference in colors and races and genders, but we see that even there are subdivisions within these greater divisions of different types of differences. And ultimately, those differences come down to differences amongst every single one of us. We all look different. We all have different strengths and different weaknesses. That doesn't make us less than anybody else, but rather it makes us different. So I'm emphasizing this point of difference as opposed to lessness. Okay, so let's start with the women. Once again, and you'll hear this from me, women are not inferior. They're different. They may have certain inferior traits to men, and they may have certain superior traits to men also. But overall, the concept is that of difference, not inferiority or superiority. It's obvious that women look different than men. And if we want to emphasize the point of inferiority, in general, women are weaker. Doesn't make them inferior, it just means that they're not as strong. Certainly you can find women that are as strong as men, but that's the exceptional case. On average, you will find that women are physically weaker than men. And you'll often find that in the majority of cases, women are more emotionally driven than men are. Women have higher voices. I'm speaking, I have a very deep voice. You'd be hard-pressed to find a woman with a deep voice like me, but you won't have problems finding men who have a deep voice. And of course, the elephant in the room is that women bear children and men don't. Of course, with modern surgical means and medicine, there are some men who bear children, but that's what it takes. It takes some artificial surgical means. It's not the natural way of things, and it's not something that every man is going to do. So once again, it's the exception. Let's not trade exceptions for the rules. And the whole concept of the Varnashram system is that people should be engaged according to their natures, according to that which is most harmonious and which synchronizes most easily with their natural inclinations. So that type of compatibility is what we're always looking for. And that primarily means that women are generally meant to be taking care of a family, they raise children, their assistants to their husbands. Why can't they be equal to their husbands? Because generally in any type of unit, whether that unit is small like a family or it's a country, you have to have some center of authority, and that's how things are run. And so we have different types of centers of authority and on a national level all over the world. That doesn't necessarily mean that women don't, because they assist their husbands, that means that women are also help their husbands in all types of work and handicrafts or music, or they may do business in the case of Baishas. They're leaders, they also, queens sit on the throne beside their husbands and help with leadership decisions and ruling. And when it comes to Brahmins or Brahminical activities, then women also help their husbands. So women also do most of the things that men do, not necessarily all of the things that men do, for the simple reason that they also do other things as well. They do things that men don't necessarily do. And that makes them different in terms of their engagement. It makes men different in terms of their engagement. But women's primary role as housewife and secondary role in doing engaging in all these other things that I mentioned, whereas men's primary role is as breadwinner and maintainer of the family, and secondary role engaging in some of those things that women are also doing. So, difference. It doesn't make men better, it doesn't make women less, it doesn't make women better, and it doesn't make men less. Differences of roles does not make superiority or inferiority. Just because there are certain traits of superiority and inferiority amongst genders, that does not make them better than the other. Okay, now, gays. Gays are not allowed to marry? No, they're not allowed to marry. Why? Because Vedic culture means that marriage is for having children. And because by process of natural selection, naturally, either gays, either men or women, can't have children, they can't bear children, therefore there's no reason for them to marry. Should they adopt children? No, for the very same reason that they can't provide both a father and a mother in a family, which is what children need. Because a father can't play the role of a mother, and a mother can't play the role of a father, because they're different, and they bring different strengths to a relationship, and they bring different strengths to raising children. So homosexuality may be an orientation, just like heterosexuality. But ultimately, sex, no matter what type it is, homosexual, transsexual, heterosexual, so many different types of our world is obsessed with sexuality. It's meant to be controlled. and it's meant to be purified. So just like heterosexuals need to purify themselves within marriage, homosexuals may have to purify themselves outside of marriage. But ultimately, the best type of situation is where one is completely in control of one's senses, vatrovegam, udaropashtavegam, and ultimately one stops sex life altogether, in which case it doesn't matter what one's orientation is. Okay, are black people inferior race? Well, no. As I mentioned, they're a different race, just like there are so many different races on this planet. Even the whole concept of race, which you'll sort of defined as divisions of humankind. So what makes divisions amongst races? Colors, appearance, inclinations, and so on. And from our point of view, this is called collective karma. Just like there's individual karma, so similarly individuals whose karma becomes categorized into or who fit into certain categories, then they develop collective karma. And that collective karma appears also in races. And also, of course, even in races, you see there's different collective karmas in big countries and so on. So as with women, as not being less, similarly blacks are not less than anybody else. They're different, and we see that sometimes they're very much more. If you look at athletics, especially when you look at running or things like sports like basketball, you'll find that blacks are superior to others. That's it's a fact. On the other hand, if we're looking now at sports, then I don't think there are many fast black swimmers, or certainly not in proportion to how many there are as runners. So once again, they have certain strengths and they have certain weaknesses, as everybody does and every group of people does. And my experience has been that I've never met any race of people who are more musically inclined, who have more rhythm and beat and ability. And does that mean that other people are less? No, it just means that they're different. Why? Because, and this is the main point, and I'll bring this up and then I conclude, because all this external stuff is just that. It's all very external, and it's not really to do with the human right of being equal. So anyway, we see other races. Chinese are extremely diligent, Germans are very organized, Swiss are very restrained. They have different characteristics, and it's that difference which makes the variety that makes up the creation. I'm just sitting outside in a garden, and I'm surrounded by all kinds of different plants, and all the plants have a different function. And if they were all one and they all did the same thing, we wouldn't have a properly functioning environment, because all of these differences are interlocked into one complete functioning whole. When people may ask, oh, can blacks be as smart as others? Of course they can, by education. Prior to the current President of the United States, the previous one was very smart, very educated President of the United States, whereas 200 years ago blacks were slaves. Now the President of the United States, the most powerful person on the planet. How is it possible? It's possible by training and education. And that's the overriding thing of all of these different differences, is that if you want, or if people want to be equal, if they want to attain something, and I don't really want to use this word equality, but rather that they want to reach some type of attainment, every attainment can be achieved by training and education. Yatraya lakshanam puktam punkso varnami ganjikam. And of course, if a person has an attainment, he should have an inclination for that. And when he has that inclination, then he moves forward and shows that attainment by results, is that he actually does it well. So, yes, there's division amongst races. And adding another point, considering that we're in Kali Yuga, and in this day and age, people are very, very unfortunate. Everyone's unfortunate. More or less, when you're talking about distinction among one class or another, or even someone being better than someone else, talking about the least insignificant and least qualified people finding distinctions and faults amongst each other. But nonetheless, for the sake of a proper functioning social order, in the way that right now I'm using my hands to work this microphone, I could give the equal right to my feet to do that, but it's not going to do a good job. And I could train my feet to use a microphone, but it's still not going to be as good as my hands. And after all, why should I? What's the point? Why not the feet? Be satisfied with the feet, because I don't particularly want to be walking on my hands. Similarly, the world is designed in a certain way, and just as we see different plants, animals, insects serve a different function as part of the whole, similarly human beings should also fit in there in order to achieve, and here we come, what the real human right is. And the real human right is self-realization. That's the real human right that's being actually taken away by all of this emphasis on the externals, on the external material body, on trying to make everyone equal, and by becoming so obsessed with bodily identifications and bodily competition, people forget that the real goal of life is to understand that they're not this body and they're spiritual entities. And that's the real right that everyone has. And that right is being denied people in a very systematic way. So training and education and self-realization, this is the means of people being able to achieve their potential, provided that that potential is there. And if it's not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make you any less. What really makes someone outstanding is whether they know their spiritual identity and they know their relationship with the Supreme. Hare Krishna.